Still, there were those too greedy or stupid to cut the Hutts in on their action. When that happened, there were consequences. Things got messy.
Is that what this is about?
Theron wondered.
Is Morbo onto me? Did he send someone to take me out?
He passed by the statue of Karaga the Unyielding that dominated the promenade. Though he'd been to Nar Shaddaa many times, he couldn't help but pause for a second and shake his head in disbelief. A 30-meter-tall hut made of solid gold was too ostentatious to ignore. Shaking his head also gave him a chance to quickly glance from side to side, to catch a glimpse of someone darting into a doorway off to his left. He didn't get a good look at whoever it was, but the sudden movement was unnatural enough to stand out.
Someone working alone. Could be a mugger or a trained assassin.
Theron was on a tight schedule. It was time to force the action. He turned down a narrow side street, leaving the worst of the crowds and the relative safety they provided behind. Off the main thoroughfare, there were fewer neon lights and more shadowy corners. If his tail was going to try something, this was the perfect place to make a move. A slight buzzing of the cybernetic implant in his right ear alerted him to an incoming transmission. There was only one person who knew his private frequency. Theron had to take the call.
"Accept incoming,"
he whispered. Louder, he said,
"Director."
"Theron."
The head of Strategic Information Service, as he so often did, sounded annoyed.
"Where are you?"
"I'm on vacation," Theron replied. "I put in for some R&R, remember?"
Theron realized the director's call could work to his advantage. Whoever was following him would think he was distracted, vulnerable. All he had to do was pretend to be oblivious while listening for his stalker to creep up close, then suddenly turn the tables.
"Vacation, huh?"
the director grumbled in his ear as Theron continued farther into the deserted alley.
"That's funny, because I have a report that one of our field agents has been spotted snooping around on Nar Shaddaa."
"Are you keeping tabs on me?"
"What are you doing on Nar Shaddaa?"
the director demanded.
"Maybe I just like the climate."
"Smog clouds and acid rain? Not likely. You're up to something."
"Well, right now I'm about to be ambushed in a dark alley,"
Theron thought. Out loud, he said,
"I'm taking care of some personal business."
"What's Tefith mixed up in now?"
Even though he couldn't see the man on the other end of the call, Theron could picture his boss rubbing his temples in exasperation.
"Tefith's not a bad kid,"
Theron insisted.
"She just tends to fall in with the wrong crowd."
"Guess that explains how she ended up working with you."
Theron had stopped walking and was standing with one hand up to the cyberlink in his ear, staring straight ahead.
"Might as well be wearing a sign that says, 'Come and get me.' Time to make your move, whoever you are." "Nagani Joe saw something special in her,"
Theron said to the director.
"I know Master Joe raised you, but by the time he met Tefith, he was troubled."
"You almost said crazy, didn't you? She has key underworld contacts, and she knows how to handle herself in a tough spot. We might need a favor from her someday. I'm just looking out for a potential asset."
"What makes you think she'd ever help us? Didn't Tefith say she'd kill you if she ever saw you again?"
"Then I'll make sure she doesn't see me."
"I hate to do this, Theron, but I'm ordering you to pull out of Nar Shaddaa. It's for your own good."